You're listening to Backpage Breakdown on URM.
Hello and welcome to Backpage Breakdown. I'm Sam Brown. I'm joined today by Gareth, Connor and Lee. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay, the first topic of the day is Jose Mourinho. So after what can only be described as a frightful week for Chelsea, Jose Mourinho has been charged for his misconduct at Upton Park. But is there just a big conspiracy against his side? Here he is fighting his corner with the media.
You know, in other countries where I worked before, tomorrow in the sports papers would be front page scandal. Of course, that's a campaign. That's a campaign. That's a clear campaign. You know, you people, pundits, commentators, coaches from other teams, they react with Chelsea in a way they don't react to other teams. They put lots of pressure in the referee, and the referee makes a mistake like this. We don't get decisions. I think referees are afraid to give us decisions. And when we are top, I understand the feeling that everybody wants to push you down. But when you are so down, give us a break. Be honest with us and give what you have to give.
So that was a medley of Jose Mourinho telling us about a conspiracy or a campaign, as he said, against his side. Lee, we'll go straight to our resident Chelsea fan. Do you believe that there is a campaign against your side?
No comment.
I don't believe there's a campaign, but I do believe that with Mourinho as manager and players like Diego Costa, it's quite easy to make it appear there is a campaign against us. I don't think decisions have gone our way this season, but I think when your luck's out and you're playing bad, you don't get what you need. When you're winning and you're playing well and lucky, then you do get what you need. So I don't believe there's a campaign, but because this is quite an extreme word to use for what's going on, but I do think we have been somewhat unlucky with decisions this season.
So, Gareth, are you going to go with the opinion that it is it's bad luck, or are referees genuinely picking on Jose's side?
I don't think there's a campaign against Chelsea, though. I think, as you said, with players like Diego Costa in a team, it's easy to think that decisions are going against you, but it's just the way football is sometimes.
Lee, would you say that Jose Mourinho is possibly making it worse for his side by continuously bringing out this argument and not really taking responsibility for their poor performance?
Jose Mourinho has always been someone who wants to deflect any pressure away from the players. He's done that throughout his career. First into Chelsea, wherever he goes, he wants the pressure on him, the spotlight on him. Whether that's just because he's got his huge ego, or it's genuinely an important facet of his management tactics to remove all spotlight from the players. And he has actually highlighted them this season once or twice, which I think came to all Chelsea fans' surprise. So, I don't know, it's hard to answer, to be honest.
Connor?
I do think Jose Mourinho plays this game with the media where, he's right, he deflects all attention from his players. So if you're going to play that game, you've got to play it when things are going badly. It's easy to take the pressure when, you know, you're winning the League Cup and stuff like that. But when you're on a run like this, it's hard to take the pressure, and Mourinho's got to deal with it.
So, Connor, would you say it's unhelpful what he's doing, and he needs to kind of change his tactic with the media, or should he stick to his guns now he's gone this far and just keep at it until his team, you know, finally improve?
I think he's getting to that level. It might be a little bit embarrassing now for Chelsea fans. I don't know if Lee agrees, but I think the way Mourinho handles himself, and the way Costa, that game against Arsenal where Gabriel got sent off, it's not nice to watch, really. And I think Mourinho should just be a bit more quiet, really.
The only thing I'll say about it is, in Mourinho we trust, you know. I know that sounds so naive and stupid, Chelsea fan, but we have to look at him and think his success is there. You know, he's won us multiple league titles. He's the best manager we've ever had. The fans were singing his name again last night. I think we're confident as fans that he's going to pull us out of this. I do believe he needs to change tact. I just think he needs to approach the media in a way where he sort of just admits what he's done is a bit over the top and learn from it and move on, because he'll get plaudits from pundits and all around just for holding up his hands, and we'll get less hate as a team, which would be nice.
Gareth, they lost three results, excluding last night in the league, which is kind of quite nice for you, but is a loss against West Ham, a win against Villa, and a loss against Southampton. Is the problem Mourinho, the players, the refs? What is actually Chelsea's problem at the moment?
I think it's easy to blame Mourinho on an issue like this, but if he's putting out the same sort of side as he was the past couple of seasons when they were doing really well, seems weird that the media aren't focusing on how badly the players are playing. Because if you look at the stats this season, not many of the players are really living up to what they did the past couple of seasons. So whether that is Mourinho's fault or whether it's the players, I don't know.
He criticised another referee, Connor Moss, calling him soft, and he got sent to the stands. He got a £50,000 fine.
Yeah.
The fines are racking up now. What is this effect on Chelsea Football Club? Not necessarily even the changing room or Mourinho, but what is its actual effect on Chelsea?
As I said before, I think it is a little bit embarrassing now. And all the pressure is going to Mourinho. As Gareth said, there's no pressure on the players. I think that's really where the media should be looking. Diego Costa, for example. I know there's question over his injury, but he scored 20 goals in 26 games in the league last season, but he's only scored 2 this season, and he's the top scorer for Chelsea. So I think there should be more pressure put on the players, not just Mourinho.
So finally, Lee, can he turn it around, and how soon, if so, will he do it? Predictions.
Categoric yes to he will turn it around. I think we've got to look as a team at fourth place already. The title's gone. I'm convinced we'll get there. It's a matter of time. These players won the Premier League last season. You can't go from where you were last season, where there was no competition, to where we are now. We're only 9 points off of fourth place. We're 10 games into the season. There's 28 games to go. Who knows, we could win the league. I highly doubt it. I'm not an Arsenal fan, so I'm not going to throw optimism around here. But it needs to happen by January, though. That's, I think, the cut-off point before we should really start hitting the panic button.
Okay, well, moving on to Tyne Wear Troubles. An important 3 points on the weekend for Sunderland against arch rivals Newcastle. But in a season already proving tough for both sides, how crucial is it? Here's Big Sam revelling in his victory.
Sam, well done. A lot of pressure on you today.
Yes, I think we've carried that very precious piece of history on now. 6 wins on the trot. I'm the 4th manager to arrive, and my second game be against our local rivals and manage to win. So all ends up today for everybody concerned. First, obviously, the players. And then everybody at the club and the fans particularly, first good weekend they've had this season now. Mm. And what a weekend they can have when we've beaten Newcastle 3-0. And
Well, there we go. That is Sam revelling in a very rare kind of victory there, I guess, for Sunderland. Both teams sitting in the relegation zone. Newcastle are on 6 points, and so are Sunderland. Newcastle with minus 10 goal difference, Sunderland with minus 8. Right at the start of the season here. Really not particularly good start for both teams, is it, Gareth?
No, both teams are doing pretty poorly. I mean, Newcastle were really low down, as well as Sunderland. But Sunderland's squad, well, both squads really, they made some pretty decent signings on paper during the summer, so I thought they'd both be doing pretty well. But they've been really inconsistent and, well, really quite bad in the other games. Mm. Well, Newcastle the other week beat Norwich 6-2, so I'm a Norwich fan, so that's difficult to do. But in parts of those games, they really showed some quality, and Wijnaldum, he's a quality player.
He is.
He's so in my fantasy team.
Yeah, so it's
just
weird.
Saying.
Oh, all right, Jose.
It's weird that they're so far down the table when they have quality players like that.
So, Connor, Gareth was talking about quality in both teams.
Yeah.
Therefore, why are they below teams? I'm not going to take it away from Bournemouth, but comparing the two squads, you would say that Sunderland and Newcastle probably have better quality across the board. Why are these two teams quite consistently in the bottom few teams in the Premier League?
Well, I think it's the defence, really. The money spent in the summer is quite staggering for two teams in the relegation zone. Sunderland spent £25 million and Newcastle spent £52 million. But I think it's all gone on attacking players like Mitrovic, who I think is a good player, Wijnaldum, another good player for Newcastle, and Barini for Sunderland. So I think they've all got, both teams have got good attacking players, but it's just the defence for both teams, really. I'm still not convinced by Sunderland's centre-half pairing of Cabull and Coates, and Coloccini. I don't think he deserved to get sent off at the weekend, but I still definitely think he's past it. You know, he should have left a couple of years ago.
Lee, so after spending tons of money, but not, as Connor say, maybe not in the right areas, what can they do to improve their season without signings? Let's say they weren't allowed to sign any more players. What would you do as charge of Newcastle or Sunderland to turn it around?
Sack Steve McLaren. It's got to happen. I cannot believe this man still gets jobs in top leagues. Steve McLaren is his nickname, for God's sakes. It baffles me with the amount of managers out there that they could have plucked for Newcastle. They chose him, of all people.
Maybe the problem is they can't pluck many people now. It's quite an unpopular job, yeah. Possibly.
It might be. I think maybe having Mike Ashley above you is somewhat of a deterrent to take on the job. But at the end of the day, Newcastle are a big football club. You know, they're the pride of a whole city. They're of a past time. They were a big team. They almost won the league title and they had players like Les Ferdinand and they had a good squad. And people used to regard Newcastle as a really big powerhouse in English football. And now they're not, and I think that name still carries weight, so they could attract top managers. And in reference to Sunderland, I think and I hope they'll be okay, because I'm a big fan of Sam Allardyce. I think he's the perfect man for that job. All the changes he needs to make, really. I think he needs to look at some youth, because you cannot allow John O'Shea to play football anymore. It's like shooting your old dog at the end of the day. It's in so much pain that it's best put it out of its misery. He's one of those ex-United servants that just needs to be cut loose at the end of the day, and they need to look to the future and not try and grab to this unnecessary dead experience.
Connor, would you say, therefore, that Sunderland have got the right man and Newcastle maybe don't?
I definitely think Sunderland have got the right man. Allardyce, I think he's very underrated as a manager. He did some fantastic things with Bolton, West Ham as well. McLaren, I agree with Lee. He's not entirely convinced me yet, but I think Newcastle, like Aston Villa, with the vacant manager's job there, it's a bit of a poison chalice. Because the club, there's deep-rooted problems within the club. It cannot take just a manager to fix it. You need like a whole change within the board. Like Mike Ashley needs to sell, and Randy Lerner needs to sell with Villa. But McLaren, I think he does deserve a bit more time. You can't sack him after this little games.
Fair enough. So, Gareth, the fundamental question. After seeing both teams survive last year, Newcastle in 15th with 39 points and Sunderland in 16th with 38 points, will Sunderland and Newcastle stay up at the end of the season?
I think Newcastle will stay up. I think they've got the quality in the squad, and if Steve McLaren can't get the job done, then I think they'll hire someone else. Sunderland, I can see them going down very easily. There's not many people in the squad that you think, well, maybe Premier League quality, but are capable of getting them the points when they need them. So I'd say Sunderland are probably one of the favourites for the drop at the moment.
Both agree with that? You too?
I would have until Dick Advocaat left. Now Allardyce is there, he's got a good track record of keeping clubs up, so I'd back them to stay up.
I think I'm going to have to back up Connor there and agree that with Allardyce at the helm, by blood or guts, they're going to stay up in the Premier League.
What about Newcastle?
genuinely, my thing that I think the only thing that hinges on is how long they decide to keep Steve McLaren. I think if genuinely, I think I just personally don't see him as much of a motivator or someone I could look at and go, I want to play for this guy and get him results.
The thing with sacking McLaren, though, I don't know who you'd bring in, because I'm not sure many managers would be, or the quality manager that you want would be attracted to that job. I'm not sure. Moyes, Rodgers, I'm not sure.
Moyes.
Bring back Moyesy to the end of the season, that's what I said.
I'm convinced he'd take this job in a heartbeat.
Yes, I'm sure he would. Actually, I don't think he's doing particularly well at the moment in Spain.
No, it's not going great.
After a great start. I think they beat Barcelona when he went there.
1-0.
Magician. And then everyone realised that he wasn't again. I don't know. I wouldn't be too saddened to see Moyesy back in the Premier League, actually.
Yeah, I think his tenure at United tainted his... quite good and solid reputation. I think among fans, managers and players, he was quite well respected in the Premier League. I don't think you could find someone who was anti-Moyes, so I think it would be good to have him back as well.
This is the first podcast that so far is unanimously agreeing that Moyes could be actually quite a good manager. Gareth?
No, yeah, I liked Moyes before he went to Man United. At Everton, he did some excellent things, and he was there for a long while, and everyone loved him there.
Great work at Preston North End as well. He took us to the Championship player final.
Preston who?
Preston North End.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he's getting back in the English game.
Fair enough. Okay, well, moving on to other things closer to my heart. So after an interesting period of time for Arsenal, we take a closer look at their season so far. And here is Charlie Nicholls going crazy about Giroud's goal versus Bayern Munich.
But I'm afraid the deadlock has been broken at the Emirates Stadium. You don't need me to tell you who's in front, do you, Charlie Nicholas?
Bayern are one up, Jeff. It's Giroud! Big Arnie Giroud!
Seriously, that is that commentary is almost good as this.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Only he could have said those words, or word, or noise. So there we have it. Arsenal, at the moment, sit in second place in the Premier League table. We obviously have played 10 games, like everyone. We've won 7, drawn 1, lost 2. We've got a goal difference of 10 with 22 points, not looking too bad. Our top goal scorers at the moment, Sanchez with 6, Giroud with 5, Walcott with 2. Lost... our 3 fixtures. I am going to include last night to be fair to us. It was a loss to Sheffield Wednesday away from home. Before that was a win against Bayern Munich, 2-0 at home, obviously, and between the two was a win at home against Everton, 2-1. Okay, well, Lee, our Chelsea fan, what do you think of Arsenal this season overall?
I'm one of the few Chelsea fans. I think I go to the Emirates a reasonable amount. I say fortunately or unfortunately, as my stepdad's an Arsenal fan, and they're getting more and more enjoyable to watch each season. And I think this season you've got your talisman in Alexis Sanchez, and for the first time in the last couple of big games, I'm not a Mesut Ozil fan. Mesut Ozil fan, but against Bayern, I saw the highlights because I was watching the Chelsea-Kiev game. He, regrettably, he was instrumental. And Arsenal just look that bit stronger, but the big question is, are they strong enough?
To win the league. Pointing out something about Ozil, because I don't think he gets enough good press. He has the best games to assists ratio in Premier League history, which is pretty impressive. Yeah. I think, Arsenal have got up to a decent start. It was a fairly topsy-turvy start to the season, but now we're getting into it. Gareth, can you see some qualities that might make Arsenal maybe pip other teams to the post?
Well, for me, when Arsenal are on their top form, they're almost unbeatable, as we saw against Bayern the other day. I would say that's been the same for the past few seasons, but the problem with Arsenal seems to always be a part of the season where they're just losing games for fun. And I think
it's not fun.
I think most Chelsea and Man City fans and Man United fans are going to be rejoicing when it happens this season, or if it happens. But for me, I think Arsenal have the quality to win the league. But if you look at maybe their depth of the squad compared to Man City, they perhaps would be more susceptible if they had a few injuries.
Which they tend to always do. Obviously, we saw Chamberlain and Walcott go off injured last night. Pretty key injury there for Theo Walcott. Now we're just relying on Giroud for those key goals. Connor, would you agree that Arsenal may have the talent to win the league this year?
Definitely. I think there was a lot of criticism of Wenger over the summer with him not buying any outfield players. But I think it's worked out quite well, because the players that were there already have got to know each other quite well. As you say, Sanchez, he's been fantastic. And Ozil, I think he stepped up a gear this year. It looks really good. But I think injuries, like with Arsenal, every season could be a problem. So both Walcott and, as you say, Chamberlain had to go off yesterday. And you've still got Welbeck, Wilshere, Ramsey, all injured. I still think Ramsey was wasted on the right. But they need bodies in, I think. But I think Giroud he gets a lot of bad press. I think he's a good striker. As you say, he scored 5 goals this season. He's only started 4 games. So I think he can be relied upon, yeah.
So, Lee, is it genuinely just a question of keeping our squad fit and kind of keeping up this form? I mean, let's discount last night's result against Sheffield Wednesday. Can we go the distance? Basically, the question is, can we top Man City, for me, or Man United?
Yes. Obviously, that's a very simple answer. Injuries are the biggest problem for Arsenal, if not any other team, and it's keeping the squad fit is the big issue. I can see, I'm just looking online at the moment, it says a hamstring injury for Oxlade-Chamberlain, he'll be back soon. Walcott's 2 weeks, you've got 3 weeks Ospina, Rosicki 2 months, Jack Wilshere 2 months, Danny Welbeck 2 months, 3 weeks Aaron Ramsey, 2 weeks Mikel Arteta. We're up to 8 injuries for senior squad players, and it's at this point, and after a game like yesterday, that Arsenal crack. This is the sort of thing, if you come back and they win a game, you'll think, yes, but it's a big problem. And talking of Arsenal injuries, just one of my favourite stats in world football is that, talking of injuries and injured players, Diaby was injured for 1,554 days at Arsenal.
Who is Diaby? I've never heard of him. No, it's been a consistent problem at Arsenal now for many seasons, and I don't personally believe it's just because they're injury prone. I think there is a problem with the training. They're very similar injuries as well, and it's getting to the point where it's quite ridiculous. It's quite hard to go anywhere when you don't have a lot of your first team out. What would you say, Connor, would be a problem that would be causing all of these injuries?
That's
toughest
really,
question of the day.
It's a really difficult question, isn't it? I don't think I can answer that. No, but I think it is a big problem with injuries, because if you look at City on Sunday against United, I know it was a boring game, but
they enjoyed it.
they showed how well they could play without Aguero and Silva, and how solid they were defensively. I'm not sure you could see Arsenal doing the same. So,
Lee, you were raising your hand there about the injuries.
I think it's Arsene Wenger.
I agree.
His training methods. I speak to a lot of Arsenal fans, and that's what they say. They're the only team that it seems to happen to on a consistent basis, season after season. And you don't imagine Arsenal are going to be skimping on any medical practices they have in the club or doctors. So it's got to be down to the training that is causing this. And as you said, they're repeat injuries that we're seeing on all the players. So my conclusion is Arsene Wenger that causes these injury problems.
Yes, I'm actually a big fan of Arsene Wenger. And before I criticise him, the Bayern Munich game, Bayern Munich are a better team than us. And I think the reason for that victory has to come down to the tactics of Arsene Wenger. So I think tactically he's there. I think possibly his training methods might be slightly outdated now. And of course, as we know, Arsene Wenger's a pretty stubborn guy. He's probably maintaining the same training methods as he has for the last decade or so. So I don't know, maybe if we improve that, maybe if we sign maybe one or two other players, which is literally what we've been saying forever, we'd be able to solidly win the league. But I was convinced at the start of the season from what I considered was a poor transfer window. Actually, I can see sense in not maybe getting those other players. Gareth, what do you think about Arsenal's maybe transfer policy in the last year or so?
Well, at the beginning of the season, I was very critical of the transfers, and I was not... Well, before the transfer window, I was backing them to win the league, and then after I saw that they only signed one player in Petacek, I didn't think that they would be able to compete, but they looked really good, and maybe you could say that's Arsene Wenger being a good manager, knowing that he didn't need to get in more players, or maybe that might come back to bite him later on in the season. We'll have to see.
I think they probably did try and sign some players, but maybe didn't do well enough. I think the Czech signing has turned out, I think he's actually won us a few games, actually, just simply because we're not conceding as many goals. Because, you know, Chesney, you know, he's okay, but he's no Czech. Thanks for that, Chelsea and Lee, for giving us
a legend.
Yeah, an absolute legend. So, yeah, I mean, all I can say at this point is, especially after last night, who knows where Arsenal will go. They're one of a few teams that can, of course, win the league. Okay, guys, thank you very much for joining me for our second podcast of the year. We'll return soon, I'm sure, in a few weeks. Till then, keep listening to URN Sports.
This is URN Sport.